Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome back to another edition of the Cleveland Baseball Talk Podcast, Spring Training Edition. I'm Joe Noga from Cleveland.com, joined by Paul Hoynes. Hoynesy, out in Arizona, how are things going? Another day of live batting practice, some drills, and getting to see some pitchers on the mound. Who stood out to you on the second day of full squad workouts?
Yeah, Joe. Yeah, yesterday was an interesting day. We saw Tristan McKenzie throw, full out. He looked good. He said after he threw, he said he felt great. No restrictions through all his pitches. We saw Emmanuel Class A throw, and manager Stephen Bote walked over to the group that was hitting against Class A. And said, if none of you guys hit this guy, I want to see you after practice.
So, oh, wow.
But he said Class A was thrown, like was burning up the radar gun, and he was just kidding around. But he said, I'm just trying to lighten the mood here, And he talked about facing Class A once a couple years ago in an exhibition game in 2021 when he was playing for the Diamondbacks. He said he had never seen Class A before. He was leading off like the ninth inning, and Class A comes into the game and he throws he throws one pitch and he pops it up and he tells the guy in the on deck circle, the pitch has a little cut to it, and because he'd never seen it before. And then he went back and checked out the readings, and the pitch was at 101 miles an hour with 6 inches of cut. So he goes, yeah, it had a little cut to it.
Yeah, he probably thought it was a fastball, but it was probably really a cutter and a sinker, which is what he naturally throws. So it was interesting that Vogt had really never seen a pitch like that, as he tells it, kind of funny. The format of practice right now, what they're going through out there in Goodyear, with the workouts and the live BP and, different kind of drills and things, are inter-squad games that we've gotten used to hearing about, later in that first week of spring training, are those inter-squad games like a thing of the past now?
Oh, I think so, Joe. Francona never liked them. He may have had a couple like in 2013 or 14, but he never had any after that. He didn't like inter-squad games. And, Vogt said, basically that the live BP, sessions that they have been going through for the last 2 days, and they'll go through today and tomorrow as well. They've kind of replaced the inter-squad games, because he said, we can do more work at more game speed, with our hitters and infielders than you would get in an inter-squad game. And I thought what he said made a lot of sense. It said, a guy could play a whole inter-squad game and get two ground balls hit to him, or maybe one. And this way, in practice, they're constantly moving. They're constantly, fielding ground balls. You're getting, as evaluators, you're getting a better read on a guy.
Yeah, it's, you know, instead of standing around for the duration of an inning and maybe never seeing a ball hit towards you, or, you know, depending on how each pitcher is doing, you know, it definitely increases the opportunities for them to put eyes on you and see what you're capable of. As far as what vote and those coaches are looking for out of some of these guys, is there like any secret formula? Is it a numbers thing, or is it more process driven?
Yeah, I think it's more process driven. You know, he has told them, you know, I don't care what your stats are this spring. You know, don't worry about it. You know, we want to see how you're working, you know, day in and day out. Are you following, you know, the plans that were made for you in the off season that you helped, you know, implement? Are you doing that day in and day out? They'd much rather see that than, you know, than, you know, a guy worried about going 0 for 20 in the Cactus League season. They don't want to hear that. But then, you know, Tom Hamilton asked Vogt a great question. He goes, "Did you ever buy that when managers told you that?" And Vogt said, "No way. I wanted every hit I could get in spring training. I didn't. There was no such thing as a good out in spring training for me."
Well, and you're talking to a guy with you know, a lot of experience in that, because what Vogt's, you know, first call up, his first games in the major leagues, I think he went like 0 for his first 20 or something like that. And you know, it was sort of a yeah, you sort of have to rely on those numbers there to start with. But I think looking for guys, especially young guys who have implemented whatever changes that the coaches have given them in the off season, you know, you don't want to see a guy step to the plate the first 3 weeks of the season, not have a lot of success, and then just completely abandon that plan and fall back into the old bad mechanics that he was going through.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And that's a point he stressed as well. You know, he said, you know, inevitably it happens. You know, a guy works 3 or 4 months on changing his delivery or changing his swing, you know, and then the first bad outing he has, or the first time he goes 0 for 3 or 0 for 4, he reverts back to his old habits. And, you know, that's not what they want to see. They would rather see a guy, okay, stick to these improvements, you know, trust the process, trust the work, and eventually you're going to come out of it. You're going to get the success you want. But, you know, that's not, you have to be a strong human. You have to have a strong mindset to do that, because, you know, human nature is to go back what you're comfortable with.
Yeah. Okay. So file that in the memory banks there for Stephen Vogt. No such thing as a good out. Doesn't like seeing line drives snagged by a diving second baseman or anything like that. There's no such thing as a loud out or a good out or a spring training out in Stephen Vogt's mind. But he'll say the opposite to the players to keep him going. That was the sort of the message that I sort of took away from that. Really interesting. Okay, I want to remind our listeners, hey, subtext is the best way to get updates on what's going on out at camp with the Guardians, with Hoynsey out there watching these practices. You can log on to cleveland.com/subtext. It's $3.99 a month to sign up, or you can send a text message to 216-208-4346. We'd love to hear from you. It's a great way to text us back and forth with your questions or your takes on what's going on with the Guardians. A little bit of housekeeping and news here. A familiar face is now heading down to South Beach. Tim Anderson signs a 1-year, $5 million deal to play shortstop for the Marlins. You might remember Tim Anderson if you've completely forgotten about the previous 8 seasons with the White Sox. You might remember Anderson from the infamous call by Tom Hamilton. Down goes Anderson as he squared up with Jose Ramirez on August 5th in the benches clearing brawl between the two teams. Jose knocked him all the way down to South Beach, I guess.
The greatest call in baseball history, Joe.
I
Down
mean,
goes Anderson.
that was a lot of fun to relive that as we saw, we bid farewell to Tim Anderson May he, you know, sweat the days out in Miami down there in the glorious heat. As far as Jose Ramirez goes, though, the MLB Network top 100 players right now list was completed yesterday. Ronald Acuna Jr. atop the list at number one. Mookie Betts at number two, I believe. But Jose Ramirez, who was in the top 10 last year, he fell six spots, and now he is ranked 14th. Josh Naylor had been on an episode earlier. He was ranked 96th. And those are the only two Guardians listed on the rundown there. You think anybody's missing from that list, Toynsy?
Was that pitchers and hitters, Joe, or just hitters?
Well, and that was a funny thing was last year there were no pitchers ranked among the top 10 players in all of baseball on that list. This year, only one, Gerrit Cole, was in the top 10. Wow. So it doesn't really value, I guess, the pitching as high as it does. They must use different metrics than they do for their top 10 lists for breaking things down by positions. But as far as, the Guardians only putting two players in the top 100 right now out of everybody in baseball, how does that sit with you?
Well, you know, Joe, I can't really, disagree with it that much. I mean, who else would have had a chance? Kwan, maybe? Jimenez?
I think the major league leader in saves over the last two seasons could have, maybe been in the bottom third. And yeah. Emmanuel Clase. I think Jimenez has a strong case for being somewhere on that list. He's the Platinum Glove winner in the American League, two-time Gold Glove winner. And if you take that list and you match it up to the top 10 list that they did among second basemen, where he ranked seventh, back in January. Well, if you go down the list, there were seven second basemen on the list. He should have fallen somewhere between Ozzie Albies at 62 and Ha-Seong Kim at 88, and he's nowhere to be found on the list. I understand that you take a little bit away from him because he had a down year hitting, but it wasn't a complete waste of a year hitting. I mean, he's still productive at the plate. I think that's probably a something that Andrés Giménez can use to motivate himself at some point this year. Maybe he should have been on that list.
Yeah, that's a good point, Joe. An offense, like you said, drives the boat here. I would think in that list. Andres had the tough start. He came on, in the second half, but it wasn't the year he had the previous year. So hopefully this motivates him. But yeah, I think based on his overall game, I think he should have probably been in that top 100 for sure.
Yeah, and just by the sheer volume of appearances and numbers, I think Emmanuel Clase.
Yeah, Class A's hard to ignore here. I mean, yeah, he blew 12 saves, but he's also saved, 84 games, 82 games over the last 2 years. That you can't turn your back on that. Those are raw numbers right there. That's production.
And he's pitched in more than 70 games the last three seasons. I mean, it's crazy the number of appearances. Just that alone. And not melting down at some point. That's got to count for something. So, yeah, their rankings probably very questionable in terms of how they value pitching. The position players rank a lot higher than some of the pitchers do right now. All right, what's on tap in terms of today? Were there any matchups yesterday, batting practice matchups that really stood out to you? You got to see, I believe, Tristan McKenzie on the mound. What's the latest there?
Yeah, McKenzie, just looked free and easy. He threw hard. He was really, upbeat after the session. Said he felt great. Yeah, and he really didn't. I don't think he may have gave up one loud hit. But he looked really good, and the at bat that stood out to me is between Class A and Austin Hedges, and this was in the afternoon, and Hedges was fouling off a couple of Class A's pitches. Then there was one a pitch that was called a strike, and he thought it was a ball. He was kind of complaining, and then he finally just kind of, you know, dug in at the in the box and told Class A to bring it. Class A brought it, and he struck out, and that was it. And after after the practice, I asked Class A how he felt. He said, "I felt great." And I said, "Well, what was Hedgie said? What was Hedgie saying?" And he goes, "Hedgie was saying, bring it." So I brought it, and it was a strikeout. Hey, Hedges, strikeout! He was screaming in the locker room. So that was, I think stuff like that, you know. And then Hedges was walking away after the at bat and said, I just made Class A better. You know, he was shouting. So, you know, Vogt was saying, you know, that kind of give and take, you know, really kind of, you know, that makes players better. That kind of, you know, brings them to another kind of level, and it's what they need to push each other.
Yeah, and it's funny that Hedges is the one that sort of did that, and he was in the center of that little exchange there. It might have been what was missing last year from this club, at least early on and in the early portion of the season for certain. So good to hear that's part of it right there. As far as, you know, what's ahead for today, for tomorrow and leading into the weekend as they get ready, I'm pretty sure they're not any closer to naming a starter for that opener. But have you heard anything different?
Yeah, Vogt was asked that today. He still won't name a starter. I think he said that they know the pitchers that are going to pitch Saturday against the Reds, but they have not named a starter yet. I would think, you know, he wants to get through today and tomorrow, and probably maybe tomorrow morning. We'll find out tomorrow afternoon, but we should find out in the next 24 to 48 hours for sure.
Yeah, and it's not like he's being cagey or anything like that. It's more of a respect thing to the pitcher. I mean, if you tell him on Monday, hey, you're in line to start the Cactus League opener or something like that on Saturday, and then, you know, something goes the way it's not supposed to, or, you know, God forbid there's an injury or anything like that, and then things get messed up, you don't want to put any unnecessary pressure on a guy. Especially at this point in the season, because even though it's just the Cactus League opener, it's still something that a lot of these guys, you know, take seriously when, you know, you're the first guy out there to throw a pitch for the team this year.
Yeah. Oh yeah. And, you know, it's going to be two innings at max. So yeah, it's just, you know, it's, it's just another bullpen session and just another, you know, step along the way. And you're basically, you know, I would not think any of the top, you know, the top five starters would start Saturday. I think it's going to be, you know, probably a depth pitcher, a guy, and then they'll just, you know, fill in behind him with some relievers.
Now, what we can speculate on, though, is that that first lineup that Stephen Vogt puts forward and it puts out there, and what that could look like, what that might look like, where Jose Ramirez might be batting in that order. It probably doesn't really depend as much on who the starting pitcher for the Reds is going to be, just because it's a Cactus League game and it doesn't really matter. You're going to back guys against, you know, lefties against lefties, and because you need to see him hit that. But what would you speculate that first lineup may be looking like?
Yeah, you know, Joe, you know, Vogt said something interesting yesterday, said that, you know, he was asked if he was going to keep Ramirez in the number two spot or drop him back down to his more familiar number three spot. And he said he's going to bounce him back and forth this spring, you know, bat him second, you know, and third, just to get him used to it. And it sounded to me like that's what he wants to do during the regular season, you know, depending on, you know, who they're facing, what kind of starter they're facing. And he said it's all about, you know, drawing up the lineup, the best lineup to defeat the opposing team's starting pitcher that night. And he said if Jose has to to hit second to do that. He'll, you know, they want him to hit second, and if he has to hit third, he'll hit third. So, you know, really kind of an interesting concept, and he's going to do this in spring training so Ramirez gets used to it.
That audible gasp that you heard was all of the baseball traditionalists and the baseball purists clutching their pearls. You can't bounce Jose Ramirez back and forth between the second spot and the third spot in the order. He's a natural three hitter. He's your number three hitter. You've got to bat him there every game, every at bat. Why could this work? Why would this make sense?
Well, you know, I think because, you know, first of all, Jose's got to buy into it, and it sounds like he has bought into it. You know, I don't think, you know, Jose didn't, you know, had no problems moving up into the number two hole, but, you know, like, you know, it just, I guess, you know, you want your best hitter to get the most at bats, and probably in the number two spot, he's going to do that. He'd probably get a few more at bats than him hitting third, but the fact that he's a switch hitter, the fact that, you know, he knows the league, that he's, you know, one of the best players in baseball, has really, you know, it's got to help Vogt, you know, come up with a different kind of lineup every day. And I think that, you know, gives him other options. So, you know, if this works out, if Jose, you know, agrees to this, and I think, you know, he's open-minded, it's going to be really interesting to see how this works.
Yeah. The more I think about it, and the more I'm sitting here, I'm thinking, let's dive into this and let's look at the possibilities. And, you know, maybe you can weaponize Jose Ramirez because of versatility. The best of Jose Ramirez might come out of, you know, being that sort of being fluid and not letting an opposing manager or an opposing staff pin you down to one position in the order, or, you know, one particular way to attack a lineup. What do they call it when you're working out and you're cross training, and it's like muscle confusion or something like that. Maybe if you keep switching things up enough, as long as it doesn't confuse you, maybe it confuses your opponent enough, and that maybe it leads to more production. Who knows?
I think it, you know, Joe, it kind of helps this lineup. You know, the lineup isn't, you know, the strongest in the big leagues. So maybe this gives you a chance to, you know, shuffle some younger guys into this lineup at different spots to try and find some, you know, to try and find some more production. You know, if you hit Ramirez second, who hits third? And if you hit Ramirez third, who hits second? It's kind of a – I'm really anxious to see how this works.
Well, I mean, you and I both know that the minute they get shut out in a game, the cranky old guy in the booth next to us post-game is going to be screaming about how, well, they never do this. It's just because it's different doesn't always mean that it's bad. So, it's something to look forward to this season to see if maybe this is Vogt's wrinkle on things, you know, bouncing them back and forth. Who knows? All right. A lot more on tap for tomorrow, and getting closer to that first pitch of the first game of spring training that we can't wait to see the results for. Hoynsie, we'll talk to you again tomorrow, and we'll check in with you on the Cleveland Baseball Talk podcast.
All right, Joe.